Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So this is an especially intimate episode of NOTR. A couple weeks back, I had an opportunity to catch up with a pivotal person in my life, who, by the way, I actually only met once. Her name is Mandy Soller. She's with the Soller Institute of Tattooing. She is the artist who, in the aftermath of my mastectomy for breast cancer, did the, if I may say so, breathtaking job of tattooing the correct colors, etc., on my newly rebuilt nipple. You know, the funny thing is I had no idea that these kind of people existed or that this was even a thing until I needed this unbelievably talented chick.
Podcasting from the top of the rocks. This is News on the Rocks with Patty Steele.
So, the exciting thing about doing this with you today is that this happens to be the sixth anniversary of my breast cancer surgery.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 6 years. 6 years, and I'm healthy and happy and a way better person than I was 6 years ago on so many levels.
I'm
and
sure.
You're part of that journey.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like this is Mandy Soller. Mandy came into my life probably about 4 years ago because I'd had some reconstructive surgery in the aftermath of breast cancer. And like everybody else, there's so many elements to all of that. You've got everything from the diagnosis, then the surgery, then the chemotherapy, then the rebuilding, and then finally the last little element is making your breasts look natural. And especially interesting to me because I only had one side done. So I was hopeful that you would be able to match one side to the other. And the reason I'm kind of telling this story here is because I sort of thought this was like a very small part of my journey. And I have to tell you, no pun intended, this was the cherry on top for me. Because I didn't, after everything else you go through, the hair's growing back and all of the, I went in to get that colorization done and didn't really anticipate what it would mean to me in terms of where this journey had taken me. And so we had just had the greatest time. You were so lovely. You said, oh, your daughter is here. And my daughter was at the time like 18 years old. You said, would you feel comfortable bringing her in? And I said, yeah, sure. She and I are very close. So she came in and we sat while you worked on me. We sat and talked and laughed. You told us about your mom and how you grew up and how you got into what you do. And Katie talked about her mom, which would be me. I talked about my mom. And at the end of it, I stood up and just looked in the mirror thinking, okay, this will be cool. And it really took my breath away. Oh, I still, here we are all this time later, and I still get really emotional because what it meant to me was I suddenly saw myself as myself again. You go through everything you go through, and you're looking in the mirror at various stages, and it's scary. The first time I saw myself after my surgery, I actually fainted, and I'd never fainted in my life.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my gosh.
And thankfully, there was a nurse there with me, and I'm not that kind of person. I'm not like, oh, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But it just took my breath away. I mean, I was.
It's that adrenaline that you had that was just probably a buildup from everything that was going on prior too, and just sure. to that point, and then seeing yourself. That adrenaline just got you, you know, just
right.
caught up with you, I guess.
Yeah, she came over, the nurse came to the house to change the dressings and stuff, and I was kind of having fun with her and talking to her, and then she took, and, you know, you have to remember, I started out as a triple D, so I still was a triple D, sort of, you know, it was, and not quite, but it was a breathtaking experience, and then the rebuilding and everything. And so to stand there in that room with you, having done the most incredibly artistic work, I mean, even up close, like really close, I was like blown away by how completely natural and how it matched. It was like, wow. And it was like I had... It's, you know, better than restored. It's like it made me understand that I had been through something that taught me a lot of great lessons, but that I had this whole wonderful life ahead of me, and that what you did is you made me feel pretty again. And I know that sounds very simplistic, but it's really an essential part of what all of us go through that have to deal with this. So I start all of this saying that, and since I'm my podcast is News on the Rocks and we drink.
Oh, nice.
Here's this is to you. This is to you and also to me because it's the 6th anniversary of my surgery.
Oh, thank
you. So that is why I was so anxious to talk to you and why we're here today. But I want to get kind of a little bit of your story so people know where you came from, because it's not like you were like in kindergarten went, well, one day I want to recreate nipples on women.
Right. I always say that. It's not like I wanted to say when I grow up, I want to be a nipple expert.
Right. So there's a bunch of questions here. Where did it all start? How did you evolve into this? And also, you know, I really do want to touch on where does that understanding of not just colorization, but the... It's like it's very three-dimensional. It just looks so real. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you. I know. I mean, it takes a lot of practice and a lot of time to get that, I think. But I think it also, you have to be the right person in order to really be capable of creating that too. You know, I think that's really important.
Sure.
You have to really want it. It's like, it's like anything though, you know, you have to really want it mm-hmm. in order to be a good artist at it and really appreciate it and get a feel for it, you know? I think people always ask me, don't you get tired of tattooing nipples all day long? Like, it's just like nipple after nipple, but I'm like, I actually don't, because it gives me, each case is so different. Each mm-hmm. reconstruction is so different. So each time it's like it's a new story. It's a new palette. It's a new canvas, you know, it's everything's, it's just new every time. You never know what you're going to get in that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Is that loud?
That's okay.
So yeah, I mean, it all started though for me, I grew up in traditional tattooing. Mm-hmm. I think everyone kind of, thinks it's one of those things where I grew up, I literally grew up in a tattoo shop. So, probably 10 years old, my mom wanted to be in business now for 32 years. She has a tattoo shop. Back then there was not even a lot of women tattoo artists.
Right.
So, you know, she was one of the pioneers as being a woman in the tattoo field.
Mm-hmm.
And, me growing up in it, I was always amazed by it. So I would see my old birthday pictures and see, you know, that I have arts and crafts and arts and pencils and stuff like that. And I was always amazed by her tattooing, and I would watch the artists. And so my training was being in the shop with them, watching and just seeing all that. So it was a really, I think, a great experience for me growing up in it. But my first tattoo on skin was when I was 14 years old.
Wow. Young.
And yeah, I was 14. Cause I would always come out and I would say, they would make me draw and, you know, do all this stuff. And I'd say, am I ready yet? So there was a woman at the shop, and she had tattoos all over her. She had probably a troll picking its nose on her leg or some weird stuff. You know, like, she's like, you can tattoo me. You know, she had knee surgery and she had three scars on her kneecap. Uh-huh. And my very first tattoo was three little stick men, which is kind of ironic too, because most people say I can't even draw a stick man. And my very first tattoos were to cover her three scars on her knee. Wow. And I was telling one of my patients this story probably like 8 years ago, right? And mm-hmm. she was like, "Oh, isn't that funny that your first tattoo you ever did was on a scar?" And I'm like, "I never thought about that before."
Oh, wow. Yeah.
She's like, "Isn't it funny how things come full circle that you were actually covering a scar?" Wow. It's almost like you were meant to do it. Like, you know, I didn't even think of that until she had pointed it out. And it was one of my breast patients. And it was just like, oh, kind of rang a bell. So now it's like a story that I always tell. Yeah. And I always think it's really cool. So then I did traditional body art for about 9 years into me. Well, it was about 15 years I was tattooing. Mm-hmm. I tattooed through high school.
Right. Must have loved you. You would be like the coolest person because.
So I was either the coolest person or I was not so cool, because back then you have to remember, I may have had parents that weren't, you know, if I had a friend, they may have not have been allowed to come to my house because my mom owned a tattoo shop, you know? So what happened back then was it was a stereotype that if you, you know, had tattoos or you owned a tattoo shop, that you were a bad person. Really? I mean, my mom, she doesn't do drugs. She doesn't smoke. She's a giving person, you know? And for me as a younger person, it was hard for me to, you know, it was like, oh, you know, kind of being judged off of that stereotype.
Wow.
So I did get that. Mm-hmm. And, for me now, it's funny because now I get to change people's lives with tattooing. So it's, it's one of those things where I get to give people a different light in it, you know, in tattooing in general. It's just, you know, it's a different light in it. So it's nice that I can give people a different perspective in it, you know, and tattooing.
Do you still do any artistic tattooing, like the, like body art type?
No, I don't. I mean, occasionally on friends and here or there, not really, no, but you know, I can do it anytime I want. My mom still has her tattoo shop, and I, you know, if a patient asks me to kind of do a little breast cancer ribbon on her nipple or something like that, then I'm more than willing to just, you know, kind of do something like that, but only in my palette of colors now that I have, you know, my pinks and my browns.
Right.
So
right.
We can't get too fancy with it in my offices.
How did you make the transition from doing like cool stuff, body art into this?
I always tell people, I think it found me more than I found it. I did discover the whole cosmetic end of tattooing, and it was really cool because I heard about it and I just thought it was so amazing. So I saved up my money. I was probably in my young 20s, and I flew to Florida to train with this woman that was a really amazing artist to do cosmetic tattooing. When I had come back, I was doing some, but I was still tattooing. And then a doctor wanted to I actually just wanted to have someone in there doing that to rent space. Mm-hmm. And I just came across a patient that needed it. And then it's just kind of one thing led to another, to the point where I had the woman 3 years later after that training, I had a woman, another doctor contact me, the University of Penn emailed me and asked me to come there. So I'm like, Mom, the University of Penn, they want me to come to, you know, there, they want me to tattoo, you know, so, and then at that time too, the woman that I trained with 3 years later, she's like, "I knew you were going to be amazing. Do you want to come to New York and do nipple tattooing?" All within like, I mean, it was like a week and a half, 2 weeks time. I had all these reaching out. It was like, almost like it was, okay, this is something I'm meant to do. It's meant for me to be, you know, doing this. So, and then from that point on, I just have not, it's been nonstop. So it's been an amazing journey for me. And it's nice because, and then from this point on now, my mom taught me how to tattoo, and then I taught her how to do the nipple tattoo.
Oh,
so
that's
it's
cool.
Kinda, yeah. So she trains with me and stuff, but so it's kind of funny how it went, you know, in reverse. Now she does that. She still has her shop, but she does, you know, the patients with me at the hospital and different hospitals and stuff like that. So we're both able to do it, but she enjoys it. It's more just for the enjoyment.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I was going in, when I knew that I had to have this done, and I kept saying, you know, I want to find like the Michelangelo of breast reconstructionists. And so, you know, I went and talked to a few doctors, lots of, you know, great people, but my breast cancer surgeon said to me, "You'll know when you meet the person. You'll know because they will make you feel like they understand you and like they're safe." And I remember because my doctor was Dr. Kolker in New York, and I went to him and I
He's awesome.
He's awesome. And I sat down and I said that to him. I said, you know, it just really matters to me. I said, it's not like I'm going to get out there and be like fastening on tassels and, you know, go into clubs and stuff. But I said, I get up at, you know, 3:30 in the morning to go to work, and I stand there in the mirror and I just want to look and feel good. And he said, absolutely. He said, I like to think of myself as a student of the nipple. I never forgot that. I thought that was very funny. And so then after the whole reconstruction and all of that, and the, you know, number of surgeries and things, he told me about you. He said, she's awesome. She really is amazing. And of course, having had zero experience with, I didn't even know that was done, to be honest with you. It didn't dawn on me because I'd never known anybody, you know, really very closely with this. And I'd never like, I mean, I had friends that had breast cancer, but I never discussed their nipples with them. And so to really grasp it, I can't even explain it. I mean, I've told you, I to go in there and think, okay, well, this is nice. I'll add a little color to it and blah, blah, blah. And then to look in the mirror. And I can't tell you for how long afterward I would look in the mirror at myself and just take a deep breath and just like look up and say thank you, because it really restored my sense of self. And again, I'm not like flashing everybody that I see, but I've talked about it on the radio a lot. People ask me all the time. And I always talk about the fact that that was such a cool part of the experience, because, you know, you talk full circle. That was full circle for me to come back and then be able to, and even my cancer breast surgeon, the first time I came back after you had taken care of me, she went, oh my God, look at you. She said, I wouldn't know if I didn't know.
Oh, and that's awesome.
So that's a testament to you. It was my doctor, Elisa Port at Mount Sinai. So she's a fan of yours now too.
But, yeah, I'm thinking a lot about her also.
Yeah, she's pretty terrific. Yeah. So it's an interesting journey that you've been on. Have you ever done anything? Have you ever had a friend or a relative that you've needed to do this for, or no?
No, some close people just in my area, you know, my son's friends, mom, you know, certain people like that I grew up with around the area and stuff like that I've known and that I've ended up going through, or, you know, a family member that's close and then they have a friend, you know, so I do reach people that way, but it seems to be everybody already knows. Okay. And they're telling them, okay, you have to do the mini. And they're like, okay, well, I didn't even have reconstruction yet. Slow down. I'm glad to know.
Yeah. You got to get through that first.
I'm the very end, but they're already like 10 steps ahead of them. Okay. I know this person. So when you need this,
Over time, what happens? Like, is there a point in time where people come back and they want to have it zhuzhed up a little bit, or?
Yeah, it just depends. I would say a majority of the time, it's going to be there forever. It's a tattoo. I mean, whatever you lose, most of the pigment that you lose, you'll lose within the first 2 weeks of it. Mm-hmm. And wherever there's scar tissue, you usually lose a little bit more. So yeah, we're working in compromised skin. So it's a little different than working on like an arm per se or something like that. So you may see a little bit more color loss and things like that. But over time, slight fading, but there's two different types of ways to do it. And it's funny that you mentioned Dr. Coker, because he actually used to do his own tattooing.
And he told me that, and he said I was okay, but nothing like Mandy.
Right. So I always joke, because there's a lot of plastic surgeons that even still to this day are trying. I mean, more of them are now referring, but that did do it or learned it in residency and didn't learn it the right way. And and it's funny, because I always joke with the doctors now, and I'm like, well, you used to do tattooing? Oh my gosh. And I'm like, do you think I can go in the OR? I'm good with my hands. That's like them saying they can come into a tattoo, you know, room and perform what I do professionally. So I always joke with them. It's funny. So.
What have you seen that's changed over the years? You've been doing this for what, you say, 9, 10 years?
10 years. I've been tattooing probably nipples, maybe even a little bit longer than that now. A lot has changed. A lot in that aspects of the Reconstruction, a lot in the aspects of the tattooing itself, the advancements in tattooing, the steps that the plastic surgeons used to take versus what they take now. And I think a lot more are able to refer out and feel confident saying, okay, I think this is a better option for you than maybe doing this because X, Y, Z, you know? So it's like, if you're not a good candidate for maybe nipple reconstruction, they'll say, well, the other option is you can have, you know, Mandy Saller do it and she can create a 3D nipple for you because I don't think you're a good candidate for nipple reconstruction. Right. So I think there's more options for patients now where they're like, okay, I have two options. I can meet, or even if they are a good candidate for nipple reconstruction, well, do I want to have nipple reconstruction or would I want to just have a 3D nipple tattoo? I mean, either way, they're going to have tattooing.
Right.
So I don't see anyone in any way or direction, but it's kind of preference in that point. Do I want to have reconstruction? Do I want to go through another surgery? Do I, you know, do I want to have a protruding nipple? All these things. But if they don't, then they can have a 3D nipple tattoo. So it's the illusion of a nipple. So it's really cool. And the way that it looks is so real. It's amazing. So it's a good option. And I like the fact that physicians are actually saying, look, you're not a good candidate. And I think this is a better option for you. Where before, sometimes they would just do it, even though, and it probably didn't turn out that well, or they just excluded it completely. And there wasn't a whole lot of options. So
do some of them do like almost like implants to create them, or is
most of it's done from the skin on the surface of the breast mound. But what happens is if the implants really, if the skin is very tight, there's a lot of tension on it. So a lot of times, or if the patient's had radiation and things like that, in those certain cases, nipple reconstruction might not always be a good option if the skin's very thin, because the tension on it is just going to flatten out the nipple over time. So they'll say, okay, this probably, you might not have the best results with the nipple. So, you know, 3D option would be, 3D tattooing would be a better option for that. So, I mean, and it's just preference, I think, if you are a good candidate for it, whether you want to have a protrusion or not.
How do you practice doing something like that? I saw somebody on Instagram, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and she's like practicing and people are letting her like create nipples on their calf. And
okay, well, that's not necessary. Okay. That's not necessary.
It's very weird. But I mean, truthfully, like, how do you begin that process?
There are, luckily now with the advancements, okay, when I first started tattooing, I practiced on oranges, I mean, fruit, you know, things like that. And then people really, I mean, they'll tell me, give them a free tattoo and cheap and yeah, okay, they're willing to let you practice on them. You know, you're learning, you know, that's how you, best thing is skin.
Right.
But no, I train now. I started training, I guess it's been 2.5, 3 years, 3 years now. I started the Saller Institute and I started training.
I've seen it. I've seen your emails and things.
So I started training people all over the world now. So I actually just got off of a virtual conference last night that I was supposed to be in Las Vegas for, and I just spoke in front of 400 people from all over the world. So it was really awesome.
A nipple conference.
It was more on the PMU, so it's permanent makeup, it's scar camouflage, nipple tattooing. And that goes for different, you know, people that take trainings. It could be a tattoo artist that may want to learn the skill. It may be someone that's already doing cosmetic tattooing. It may be a nurse or a physician that wants to take the training. It may be, you know, someone off the street that we do a fundamental training now. So there's more... it's more available because it's such a niche thing. There's not a lot of artists doing it. So that we do need trained people that are doing it. And the medical field, how they're doing it hasn't been done properly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say properly. There's just way more advancements in it now where, you know, it should be able to last longer and you should have better results and things like that. I don't think there was actually any proper training for the medical field before.
Yeah. I think it probably before was more about just kind of covering up and doing the best you can, as opposed to this amazing artistic endeavor.
Right. They would just kind of throw something on there.
Yeah.
And it kind of mind boggled me because the plastic surgeon would sculpt and, you know, be an artist to do all their thing to make everything look beautiful. And then at the end, just throw something that looks like crap on it. Like, how would you do that?
Right. like those like little tattoos you get in gum wrappers or whatever.
Yeah, and it would be like orange in color, or they wouldn't last long. They would have it done three or four. I mean, some of these people would come back, they've had it done like four times, and they've come to me and I said, I have nipple tattooing done four times and there's nothing there.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, wow. So
it's not being done right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm lucky that I'm at, and at the University of Penn, I was able to, I'm in actually towards the end of a study too, that I've been doing with the inks and the baiting process and using proper different techniques and stuff like that for that. So kind of advancements in it and just kind of proving that it, there could be a better way of it being done.
It's fascinating because, yeah, I get all the science and everything, but at the end of the day, you know, it's one person standing there looking in the mirror in the morning while you're brushing your teeth, you're just out of the shower, and you're just going, how lucky am I to live in this time when there are people like you and people like these doctors and nurses who can not just restore your health, but also restore your emotional well-being. Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing, and I hope that you think about that often, because what you're doing is so incredibly meaningful and at least for me, much, much, much appreciated.
Oh, thank you. I know, I love it. I love every moment, every comment, when the point when I say I'm finished and you get to look in the mirror is, and it's always, you just feel every single time you know, and you never know what you're going to get either. You know, you never know what you're going to emotions you're going to get from someone, or you never know what comments you're going to get from someone, or you never know, you know, but to be able to have a woman say, you know, things like, okay, now I'm going to allow my husband to see me, or, you know, just certain things that they say, you just feel like, I'm so happy that I'm able to be here and do this.
Like, well, we're happy you're here too. I just have to thank you once again. And here's to my 6 years and about 4 years since you. And
cheers.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Being awesome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.